Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic, hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you've all been cleared to know the truth. And I think we're all better this week. Yep, we're sounding good. Must have gotten all that, effects of Terra Genesis worked off from last week, so thank you everybody for bearing with us.
Any after effects? Have you changed in any way, or?
Well, my voice keeps cracking every now and again, but other than that, I think that's it.
Okay. So. You could go into another little adolescent stage. You're going to be an adolescent man? That's your power?
There's a little bit more, maybe a little bit more hair on my chest. I don't know.
You sound good.
Very exciting episode this week, Josh.
Wow.
I kind of vacillate on the show, and people or friends ask, it's like, is this a good show? I'm like, it's good. You got to stick with it, and then it gets really good, and then it kind of pulls back a little bit. And this was I thought this was a really good episode. This was putting a lot of ideas, again, a lot of stuff's kind of coming to fruition. It seems like they got to build up a lot of, there's a lot of pent up energy they put into the show. And then all of a sudden there's an episode that it just, has to get released on. And I think this was one of those. Hopefully they can keep this going. It sounds like there's some really interesting stuff coming. So.
Yeah, for sure. It just seems like if you look at it overall as a season, there's certain episodes that are just like mostly exposition to kind of get something set up in the story, and then they'll throw something like this where there's a lot of stuff going on all at once from the results of everything that had happened.
Right. And I like that exposition to be mixed in with my action. Like you said, it does seem like certain episodes are exposition episodes, or I hesitate to say filler episodes because it's not. I mean, they're really giving us a lot of background and stuff. And they're doing a lot of world building here. I mean, for the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe, I can really see, especially with this episode, there's a lot of stuff that they are setting up that I think is going to pay off in, unfortunately, 2, 3, 4 years in some of the bigger films. And, more so in S.H.I.E.L.D. too as we go along. But we'll see here what happens. But why don't you tell us about what episode we saw this week?
Saw One of Us, not me and you, but like, I mean, like,
what
that
if
was
God
the name
was
of the...
One of Us.
Yeah, I think that was it. What if Cal was one of us? It aired on March 17th, 2015. It was season 13, no, season 2, episode 13. You can go back to listen to our previous 12 seasons. It was written by Monica Owusu-Breen and directed by Kevin Tancheroen. Kevin Tancheroen solo this time.
Yes.
No, I guess solo writer, solo director.
I think he's always directed solo, but yeah, he's written or co-written.
Oh, that's okay. So yeah, that's kind of
episodes as well.
He's involved in a lot of things. Well, let's talk about this show a little bit, because you know what? Here's what's coming Tuesday! Melee in Manitowoc! Come see King Coulson as his stalwart band of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents fight on the gridiron against the mysterious Mr. Hyde, a.k.a. Dr. Zabo, and his Cirque du Freaky! That's what's happening. It's going to be exciting.
Nice, yeah. Thank you very much. I want tickets.
Yes, well, don't pay for a full ticket, because you're only going to be sitting on half your seat. No. Anyway, after Skye's father, Cal, Dr. Zabo, Mr. Hyde, whatever you want to call him, gather some disgruntled and currently indexed patients of S.H.I.E.L.D. He heads to Coulson's hometown of Manitowoc, Wisconsin to get his revenge for killing Whitehall and taking his daughter Skye, a.k.a. Daisy. Meanwhile, she's being evaluated by May's ex-husband to see if she's able to, you know, stabilize her new powers. But when the call comes that Coulson's in trouble, the bus takes off, and everyone zooms to the rescue, even Skye. Okay, well, not Mac. You know, he's busy holding Lance Hunter hostage, so he doesn't, you know, find out. So Lance doesn't, you know, find out the plan. So, okay, I guess, you know, not Lance Hunter either. He didn't go. Okay, not everybody answered the call. But anyway, it's looking pretty desperate for our heroes when all of a sudden the good doctor gets teleported away by our eyeless friend Gordon. In the aftermath, we discover that in an effort to suppress her powers, Skye is shaking herself apart from the inside. Join us at the stadium and get bat guano crazy!
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I what do they have, like a WWE opening for them this weekend as well, I think?
Yeah, I think so. You're going to be throwing chairs at each other.
I liked your name for his group more than the, what did he call them, the talent, the fighting
slicing,
talents.
Fighting talents, slicing talents, something like that.
Yeah.
His was good. I guess his was more of like a stadium announcement. I did mine more like a wrestling match or something.
Yeah, or I'm thinking the Monster Trucks. That's
Oh, Monster Trucks, yes. That's
right. Kind of where I was going with that. So,
all right. Well,
very cool. We've got a couple quick pieces of news here. First off, if any of you out there are also Star Wars fans and will be attending Star Wars Celebration Anaheim in April here, mid-April, Josh and I will be attending as well. So if you're a fan of this podcast and will be on site, look around for us. We might just have something for you if you find us. Now, how do they know what we look like? That's going to be a tough one. Well, stay tuned to the.
I look a little like Mac.
You do,
don't you think?
Yeah, you're
from the neck down.
Well, you're a little shorter. And you're a little paler, and you know, that's
okay.
Good. That's
okay. Well, if that's not a good enough description, I guess how else are they going to find us?
I look like Coulson, so maybe I'll just wear my suit and
there you go.
Be all set. So, but we'll try to get some information about where you might be able to possibly find us. Well, I know for a fact I will be in any comic book or book panel, so that's a good place to look for me. But hopefully, once we get a schedule, we'll give you guys some more information.
Yeah, and I'd love to meet everyone out there. That'd be awesome.
That would be really cool. And then our good friend Raina, Ruth Negga, has been cast in another comic book television show that's going to be on AMC called Preacher. Now, this has been being kicked around for a couple years, but she is the first cast member. There's been a number of people rumored to be actually playing the Preacher. She will be playing the ex-girlfriend of said Preacher, Tulip. Which is cool. Tulip in the comic books appears to be a Caucasian female. And so going with a little bit of, different casting than you would see in the comic book is pretty cool. And if, I don't know if you've ever read the Preacher comic book by DC. It's a Vertigo comic, Josh.
I have read some. Yes, I'm not steeped in the history as much as other comics, but I'm aware of it. I just like that the woman in the flower dress is named Tulip.
Yeah, the good point. As soon as I heard they were making this, I wanted to see what all the fuss was about. I think Preacher is only about 60 issues total, so it's like 5 or 6 trade paperbacks. Mm-hmm. And it is pretty cool. It's basically about a preacher that gets the power of God, and he kind of wanders the world, righting wrongs, but not even really. He's just trying to get some answers to what's going on with life in general. And there's just a tremendous supporting cast. Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg are the producers for it. And this hopefully should be on AMC now that they're casting it. It'll probably be on AMC next season or early next year, I would guess, because of the way AMC's seasons work. So,
which is really short and then making you wait a really long time and go crazy until their shows come
back. Exactly.
Okay.
Now, hopefully this doesn't mean that we won't see Raina on the show again, because at this point it seems like she's very kind of crucial to the way things are going. But she hasn't been, she's not really a regular. So I think that we will still see her off and on, but we'll try to keep everybody informed as we go on there. So, all right. Well, why don't we get into talking about One of Us, One of Us, One of Us. And I was pleasantly surprised by what we got in this episode. When I heard that they were putting this kind of all-star villain lineup together, that Mr. Hyde was getting all these guys together, I was a little bit worried because, they haven't really gone too much with like superpowers and stuff like this, but
right.
I thought this was a really good episode. This worked really well, especially that you've kind of got, five individual sort of, C-list villains, but together, as he says, together they're a force.
They were, and he had clearly kind of planned how he could use these people's talents. You had mentioned earlier, we were talking about how there were some episodes that were more exposition, just a little slower, kind of setting things up. But you know what? This show has not even been on two seasons, and the difference between the universe right now of the first episode of the first season and where we are now with this kind of character and more the comic book powers and villains and situations, it's feeling good, and it's amazing that we've got there this fast, this far, with characters like this, where they could make good stories. So even though they did have those slower episodes, it's pushed us along pretty fast.
I agree. And I still hear people complaining about the fact that Sky is kind of our focal point. But, I mean, that, that's kind of like, excuse me, just since you brought up the first episode, we always knew where we were going with that. I mean, she was the focal point. She brought us into S.H.I.E.L.D. She is, I think we've talked about on the podcast before, she is our surrogate, for the audience. And, that's the person that they chose to tell her story. That's how it's going to work for this. So, and the fact that she's got these superpowers and they're really not, the producers don't appear to be holding back at this point. We're really, moving forward with this. It's really great. I'm enjoying it, and I think that the level of stuff that we're getting, from her, from her powers, and just like the angst and stuff that's happening in there is really cool. So I think that they're just growing Skye's character it seems like a pretty fast pace here at this point with the powers that we're seeing and everything. I'm really enjoying that.
Yeah, I like it too. And again, I know we've talked about this before, but the Secret Wars comic, right? That they
Secret Warriors. Secret Wars is where they go to that planet and fight the Beyonder.
Oh, doggone it! I have a hard time keeping my comic title straight. Anyway, Secret Warriors.
Yeah.
Maybe if I just slur it at the end, then nobody can tell which one I'm saying. That'll work.
Yeah, that's good.
But there was a lot of Quake based story in that comic,
right? I mean, she was the focal point of that comic as well, because
exactly
she was kind of the leader of Fury's team in that comic.
Mm-hmm.
So that works out. So we got a lot more, about how her powers are working or not working, and Skye's, her ethic about what she should be doing with the team, what she shouldn't be doing with the team. Obviously, the Coulson felt like he had to put her on the index. And May, really, at the beginning of the episode, May seems to have some, reservations. She's still very supportive of Skye, but she seems to have some reservations at the beginning of the episode about having her to be part of the team. But I thought by the end of the episode, she had kind of come around in that and, was willing to, I don't know, I take the risk, I guess, of having Skye stay on as part of the team after her little discussion with Andrew.
Yeah.
Is that, am I misremembering that, or is that, do you think that's...
No, as a matter of fact, I think all of them kind of felt a little different by the end, which was even odd considering that what happened to her, you know, and that she clearly still doesn't have control of her powers. But I even thought Simmons seemed to be kind of softening up to her a little bit. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I'm not really remembering that too much. I mean, there was some Simmons and Fitz stuff that I want to talk about in a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, we didn't get all sorts of, well, you know, we really need to, you know, tag her or, you know, keep her imprisoned or anything like that that we've been getting from Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So that's, I guess, the absence of, overreaction on Simmons' part. It means that it's positive, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And I think that's why they brought in the Andrew's character, is to kind of get the team back more of a family, maybe, you know, more of a connection. Because I think they're going to have to focus on clearly other things, mm-hmm. other rifts in the group that we'll get to. And so I don't know if that's what the purpose of him was or not, but it just kind of felt more like, okay, we need to support her a little bit more here. May's attitude towards Skye in general has just kind of surprised me in a good way, just considering what her character was and so closed off when the series started. I like where they're pushing her character.
I'm wondering if it has something to do with some, you know, May sees a little bit of herself in Skye, you know, potentially. That's always, you know, something like that happens with you know, shows like this. And,
yeah,
you know,
and
people
yeah.
training, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I see a little bit of myself in you, and that's why I want to help you out.
Hmm, okay.
I don't know. But, yeah, I think Andrew was there just to help May, or help to provide a little backstory for May, which I thought was great because since she doesn't talk, she only gives stern looks, as Skye joked. You know, we really don't ever get a lot from May. Everything it seems like we've ever gotten about May is from another character, from Coulson, mm-hmm. from Ward, from Andrew, from her mom in the one episode where her mom picked her up. So she's just
not very stories chatty. From other people, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we found out the story about the cavalry from Ward. We found out, you know, about her wedding from Andrew. So it's very interesting to not have a character at least talk a little bit about themselves on a show. So I think that's kind of unique, but it enhances May's character, I think, greatly.
So with Andrew here, just a little bit more on him. So I think they brought him in for that, but I also think they brought him in for the purpose of showing Skye's relationship with the group now, and it reflected, or maybe not reflected is a good idea, contrasted, you know, Cal's leadership in the group, whereas that, like the title says, one of us. So by the end, I kind of felt like Skye was once again, you know, one of us, where you know, Cal was going around telling all these people because of their whatever you want to call them, abilities, disabilities, whatever, imprisonment, what
their enhancements,
there you go, that's perfect. Because they have those similarities, they can be a group. And, you know, they went to the first woman, what was her name? I have it written down here.
Carla.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, they went to Carla and said, hey, you know, you're one of us. So the two groups contrasted each other, and they had Andrew there to kind of show how Skye was still one of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Interesting. So basically, as Cal is putting his group together, we're seeing the dissolution, basically, of the S.H.I.E.L.D. group as well. So Skye is needing that reassurance that she's still part of the team. But what Coulson may – well, it appears he hasn't realized it yet. But And I want to talk about this just in a minute, but I think he has realized, but that his team is starting to break up a little bit while Cal's bringing his together. And of course, while Cal is using the terminology with his group of enhanced people that, you know, they're all, that you're one of us, you know, that they're all the same. Cal gets quite a surprise at the end of the episode when he is basically told flat out, you're not one of us. You know, you're just a guy that's making too much noise. And that's good. I really think that you nailed it right on the head there, that, you know, it's the contrast between these two groups, especially since, you know, Cal is the one that thinks S.H.I.E.L.D. is the criminals. He's not just he's not evil, quote unquote, just to be bad. I mean, he's coming at it. Now, he's a little off his rocker, but, you know, he's coming at it from the standpoint that S.H.I.E.L.D. is an evil group. They contain potential and they inhibit it. And they are taking this exceptional humanity, quote unquote, that Cal sees in these individuals and, you know, tamps it down and, you know, makes people prisoners in the basement of a psychiatric hospital, or forces them to wear a chip that doesn't allow them to get near technology, or puts gauntlets over their fingers so that they can't use their razor nails.
Couldn't you just cut them off?
That was my exact question. So,
well, maybe they didn't want to. Maybe they wanted to save her, you know, keep her in case they needed her for something.
The old S.H.I.E.L.D. was so corrupt. That out of everything, like, I can see, you know, it's maybe not the most humane stuff, but, you know, you've got a guy that when he talks, his voice causes catatonia, and okay, you got to lock that guy up. But this other guy who's the hacker, Levi, you know, fine, put the chip in him and he's got to go live in an RV out in the desert. You know, that's not terrible. But I mean, this woman just had nails or these knives surgically enhanced to her fingers, and you know what? You're going to just not take them off. You're just going to put these things on her. So
you know what, though, you're talking, I'm thinking, like, the guy with the voice, and, oh, man, I'm bad with names tonight.
Angar,
right. He, you know, hey, a legitimate agency, I don't know how to say this, but, you know, an agency that was really that concerned about his danger might have just done surgery on him and taken his voice box out, but they didn't. They covered it up, and they saved him, too. So maybe they were saving these people for a potentially, you know, important future mission.
Oh. Well, you know, I mean, again, just looking back, S.H.I.E.L.D. was corrupted by Hydra. They put these people on the index, but Hydra was secretly underneath that, cataloging all these things so that they could go get them. Like Garrett went in and got all those weapons with Ward at the end of last season. So, Yeah, I think there was a... you've got Dr. Zola, who is, you know, doing experimentation on people and stuff as part of Operation Paperclip, working with S.H.I.E.L.D. up until when he died and got put into the computer in Captain America Winter Soldier. But yeah, I think they really wanted to study these enhanced individuals. And the index was, wow, look at this. We can have this tool that keeps track of everybody. And, you know, there was talk early on in the first season when they were kind of training Skye on the index. I think it was the one where they visited the woman who was possessed by the spirit of the guy that loved her from the plant. But she thought she had some superpowers. You remember that one? The one where the guy was trapped because of the explosion at the plant or whatever it was. You know, Skye was like, you know, this index thing is kind of creepy. This is not really a great way to go about doing it. And May had said something, well, maybe someday you'll design a better test for the index or something like that. So, you know, there's...
I also think Coulson is kind of holding on to old SHIELD ideals, at least what he conceived as old, perceived as old school SHIELD ideas, where, you know, he thought the index was for the kind of the greater good, I guess,
yeah,
and didn't see that corrupt part of it. And that's why he's doing it again with Sky in the similar way that they used to do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say ideas, but protocols.
There you go, protocols.
Which I think is different enough from the ideas because, well, we know that Coulson has wanted to change what SHIELD is, but it's been apparent over the last couple episodes and even a few before the break that it appears that he's falling into these old traps that he disliked when Fury did it. For example, the compartmentalization that we see him enacting in this. You know, there's a lot of separation in our characters in this episode. We've got May and Sky doing a lot of hanging out together. Simmons is kind of on her own, but there's some interaction with Fitz. Bobby doesn't really have any other interaction, just a little bit with Simmons at the beginning, but then it's Bobby and Coulson doing stuff. And then, of course, Mac is off holding Hunter prisoner and force-feeding him pizza. God, that's... Man, to be chained up somewhere and someone brings you pizza and beer, I mean, I don't know about you, but that's pretty sweet. That is the life, I think.
You get a TV going in there, and it's paradise.
I know. Maybe I just need to get out more or something. But
hey, pizza and beer, that's great. Where's my Netflix?
I can get it on my phone here. Is there a hotspot?
Oh, there you go.
Hotspot, please. All right. Mac, what's the password? What's the Wi-Fi password? But Coulson, I see
SHIELD too.
Yeah. Don't jump ahead.
All right.
Coulson is really compartmentalizing with Simmons here because he tells her to continue researching, you know, stuff about the index and about Sky and everything like that. And he says, "Don't tell anybody else that you're doing this." Now, I think ostensibly we're meant to believe that, you know, I don't want anyone else knowing that you're doing this because they will get the wrong impression. You know, obviously if Sky hears about this, I think it'll be a scene similar to, what was it last week when she overhears them, you know, basically everybody's afraid of her and she goes and puts herself in timeout in the bus. I think that's what we're supposed to think, but something feels weird about this. The way Coulson was talking to her, and also with Bobby, I think he knows something is up. And I think he suspects something is up with Simmons as well. Because, you know, we've been talking about that for, I don't know, most of the season here. Does Simmons have – is she brainwashed? Is there an ulterior motive? Is she working for somebody else? You know, I don't know. So – and maybe Coulson knows that something's up, but maybe he thinks it's Simmons – and maybe the stuff with Bobby and Mac is going to blindside him. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts about that? Read any of that?
Yeah, well, it seemed very much that he's suspicious of something, which, I mean, to me, Coulson should always know something when it's going on, mm-hmm. even if he doesn't know the full things. I mean, it's just Coulson. I think Coulson should always know a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, I think, and with as far as Simmons goes, man, we have been talking about that since...
It's like episode four or five or something like that of this season.
Yeah, maybe even sooner than that, because when she was working with Hydra and we knew they were brainwashing people...
Yeah, that might have been episode three or something like that of the season.
Mm-hmm. So I definitely think he knows something's going on, but I don't know if he knows enough to move on it yet.
Yeah. Well, it seems like he's kind of putting everything in place. The other bit that kind of got me suspicious, he says that when he's talking to Bobby on the bus, or not on the bus, in the Quinjet, you're really going to call for an extraction right in front of your boss? I feel that was a really risky move, and I feel that's going to be a tell or something like that. I don't know. oh, I saw it reflected in your eyeballs or something, you know, I don't know. But he says he can't read, he can't read Bobby. Like, he specifically says he's having a hard time reading Bobby, but he can read Hunter. And Bazinga, how long have you guys been sleeping together? So he knows what's going on with the people under his, you know, even though he's been distracted by a lot of other stuff going on, he's still paying attention to what's going on. And I think that's a big hat tip to Bobby right there, that she really needs to watch out, because there's going to be some blowback. Maybe not for as much for her. I think Max probably going to get it harder, I guess. I don't know.
Now, why not her?
She is already softening. She was already softening to Hunter last week. She's softening a little bit more this week. She's telling Mac to, you know, what kind of pizza and beer he likes. You know, really, you know, let's not make this like a big deal kind of thing. So I don't know. I feel like, you know, they're going to see what, you know, she's done, and that there's some kind of, what I want to say is, you know, she's sorry for what she's doing or something like that, that, you know, that it's, they're just going to be a little easier on her. Whereas Max pretty much, you know, been hardcore with this other group, the whole time, it seems like. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just,
well, maybe she'll help in some way that leads Coulson to what's going on. So, and you know, if she's helping him, then he'll be, we know that he'll be a little bit more loyal to her, not loyal to her, but you know, he'll stand by her a little bit more, because when people help him, that's what he does.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see how that all, runs out here in the next couple episodes, I'm guessing. And I want to talk a little bit more about Mac and Bobby and everything and what's going on with them in just a second. But the one last thing I wanted to touch on here at the, in the, this first part is, the title of the episode, which we've kind of already discussed a little bit, One of Us. A lot of people might be familiar with the phrase and know that it, you know, gets chanted and stuff like that, but it actually comes from a 1932, I'm going to call it a horror film, but it's more of a psychological horror film, I guess, not like a horror film, but it's called Freaks, directed by the guy that directed Frankenstein, the original Universal Frankenstein. And it's a movie about a bunch of carnival sideshow freaks. And they actually used people with that were carnival freaks or had other kinds of deformities, pinheads and stuff like that. And about the divide separating them from normal people at the circus. So basically all of our characters are these freaks, except for one woman, a very beautiful woman who is part of the circus. And they accept her, this beautiful woman, as one of their own. And it's just about the way that they get treated. And, you know, she is this individual that kind of crosses over between the two, much in the way that, you know, Sky is, you know, being part of S.H.I.E.L.D., but also, you know, being trying to be accepted by her father and these people with these powers, and probably something that we'll see with her as her abilities continue to grow. Because as Gordon says, you know, it's not up to him. Obviously there's some sort of hierarchy that, Eyeless Gordon, reports to. And so he can't do anything necessarily to Cal, and, probably another reason why they haven't brought Sky in at this point, but they have brought Raina in. So we'll see how all of that plays out here.
Hmm.
And, yes, yeah, so the Eyeless guy's name is Gordon. We had problems remembering that last week, but
well, it just, you know, Gordon.
He doesn't look like a Gordon.
He doesn't look like a Gordon. That's okay. I'll keep practicing so I remember his name.
To me, Gordon looks more like Mac because, of course, you know, Sesame Street.
So yeah, I guess so.
that's where it is. So
that's Adam's family. That's what they called Fester when he lost his memory. He was Gordon. Gordon.
Was he really? In the movie?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. We just watched Adam's Family. It reminded me of Gordon.
Excellent. So. Excellent. No, good movie. I enjoy that. Okay, so Mac and Bobby, we've been speculating on all sorts of different. Who do they work for? You know, is it Hydra? Is it Leviathan? Is it somebody else? Did we ever guess that they worked for S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Well,
sorry,
not S.H.I.E.L.D.
the
specific,
real S.H.I.E.L.D.
The real S.H.I.E.L.D.
TM.
It's like the real Ghostbusters.
I didn't even put that together.
This
is Paul Feig's
We talked
S.H.I.E.L.D.
about. They have an all-woman S.H.I.E.L.D. coming up,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So we did talk a little bit last week about – remember how we said Fury had different teams? I think we kind of mentioned that,
yeah.
At least now I can't remember the first name of that comic. Secret Warriors.
Secret
Sorry.
I must have been hit
on the head.
So.
Thank you. Anyway, he had different teams, so we kind of talked about maybe that was a possibility of them being a separate team, but I don't think that's exactly what this is. At least that's not what it feels like. Otherwise, why would they be so, I don't know, bondagement of Hunter? I don't...
What?
Well, I mean, you know, why would they keep Hunter hostage like that?
I mean, that's a fair question. I saw it. I think it's because Hunter kind of, I almost said he came on to Mac, but no, he kind of came out. No, that doesn't sound
hey,
right
Mac
either.
Was the one that brought him pizza.
Well, no, last episode, you know, he kind of said, hey, I know something's going on. And so Mac, you know, knocked him out, but at that point they didn't have the extraction to get out of Coulson's group. So you got to keep Hunter silent. You can't just let him go and take off because they have no way to maybe get back to where, you know, the underground hideout was, which looked very much like the secret base that Patton Oswalt was running. I mean, you know, the piping and stuff like that looked like one of, what is that, Fury's secret bases?
Mm-hmm.
Which it probably is. It's because I think he had a number of those hidden around the country.
And just like all good secret bases, Nick Fury's, Hydra's, where Simmons was, and this new S.H.I.E.L.D., they've got a big gigantic logo advertising where you're at. You're at the secret base. We don't want anybody to know. Here's our logo.
Well, it would, you know, to their credit, it was inside. You know,
okay.
It wasn't,
yeah.
and we don't know if it's on the stationery yet. but it is. I did want to talk to you about the logo. So the that logo was teased in that behind the scenes video that they've got on abc.go.com that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. The double agent.
Right.
Video series, along with the images of Vintak, who we met last week, the Kree. So, you know, there's some stuff they're teasing there. The logo to me looked very much like, I think it's an army patch. It's the one, it's like yellow with a black stripe and like a dog's head on it or something like that, I think. Pardon my ignorance of our military forces, but I think it's like a division of the army or something like that. You know,
okay.
That they usually wear on their sleeve. So, you know, it's a much more it's more militaristic looking logo. And the
oh
fact
yeah,
that it's, you know,
I gotcha.
Hard edges and stuff like that. Whereas Coulson's S.H.I.E.L.D., the original S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, it's this round eagle, and the real S.H.I.E.L.D.'s one. At first, I was like. Is this? It's got German influence, like the German regal eagle,
exactly
motif with it as well.
Yes,
so.
And also since we're talking about the logo, can I say because we mentioned last week? Remember the print for this episode for the Art of Evolution?
Yeah,
with Coulson standing on the field with the four enhanced people, right?
Yeah.
That Cal had got. And I was wondering and thinking about the background. They had what looked like the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo, but now it looks like this was the logo that they were kind of teasing on that poster. Then in front of that they had a bird, and I remember I was kind of asking about the bird. Well, now
yeah.
it seems pretty clear why that's on there too. So I love that they had those little things on this the print for this week that we could think about, but you didn't really realize what they were until we saw the episode.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that is cool. Yeah, the bird wings I picked up on as soon as they started going splat on the on the field.
Yeah, me too. Which is bad enough that you pass out, you wake up and you got dead birds all over you.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Well, so big reveal, obviously, that there is this real SHIELD, or you know, this group that thinks they are the real SHIELD that Bobby and Mac are working with, and obviously Hartley, Lucy Lawless's character, right? Because she came from. There was something she was discussing with them back in the first episode of the season. There was some, the cut of something. I don't know. There was weird stuff going on with her before she died. And we know that Mac is trying to get or trying to figure out where Fury's toolbox is, which is kind of interesting that he knows that it exists, because I thought that was a pretty secret thing that Coulson had that, but maybe the knowledge that he has it is there, you know, more people know that he's got something from Fury that is helping them rebuild SHIELD, but it's just that nobody knew where it was, you know, where now that Mac does, it's hidden in the desk. And is Bobby going to have to steal that before she gets extracted, which is possible, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. Well, she's still there, so she'd be able to do it.
But my question is, who is running this real SHIELD? I've got several questions here, and I'd like to get your take on it. Who do you think's running this real SHIELD? Do you think it's people with an illegitimate claim on the title? And why would they need or want to infiltrate Coulson's organization except for, you know, to get this toolbox back? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, what would you say constitutes a legitimate claim to SHIELD? Does Coulson have a legitimate claim to SHIELD?
He is the highest, supposedly, from stuff that we heard either in Winter Soldier or in the SHIELD episode surrounding Winter Soldier. He was a level 8 operative, I believe.
I think that's right.
He was probably the highest ranking operative when SHIELD broke down, because somebody said that Hydra had gone in and killed basically all the anybody that was a level 8 or higher. So basically, you know, basically the all the Hydra operatives took out all the higher ups in the SHIELD. In the SHIELD structure that were still loyal to SHIELD. Mm. And I feel that since Fury was the director, you know, he passed the baton, so to speak, down to Phil. I mean, that's pretty legitimate. I mean, that is a legitimate group. And, you know, just are there other possibilities for having other legitimate groups, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I agree with you that Coulson would be legitimate, but I think that's a matter of perspective to say, you know, should we even trust Fury? You know, he had so many secrets. He obviously didn't see Hydra, or maybe some people suspected he did know. So, you know, I mean, it depends on who you would ask. So the reason I brought that up is because, so if this is a, let's say the good guys, it's just another SHIELD and they're still good guys. Then, because, you know, I mean, I'd like to think if Mac and Bobby are working for him, at least can they be good guys, you know? So
thought they were good guys, you know, a year ago, too, before Hydra broke out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's all, this is why
it's
I don't
messy.
Work for government.
But. It's messy. Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, so who is running them? I couldn't say, other than, you know, some wild speculation. My first thought actually was Nick Fury. Maybe Nick Fury set them up, and I kind of, you know, mentioned something like that last week, I think, or in my mind I did. you know, and why would they infiltrate him? I think the toolbox is my only real piece of evidence as to why Bobby and Mac would be with Coulson. as far as going there in the first place, I think Bobby now has a much more has a stronger connection to Coulson and would even stay for those reasons.
Yeah,
but that's all I got right now. And unless I don't think it's Hydra, I really don't. But who else could it be? Yeah, I'm not quite sure yet.
Well, I mean, my thought kind of goes to like we were discussing a little bit last week, kind of a splinter group, because. And there is something that's a little sniggly bit in my brain that goes, well, you know, Fury had all this compartmentalization. I mean, he had people doing stuff. So I would not put it past him to say, Phil, you're my man, and give him the toolbox and then go to somebody else and go, you know what? I don't know that I trust Phil Coulson, and I gave him my toolbox. So you're the man.
Here's my tackle box.
And yeah. And you need to go get the, you know, I mean, you always think, okay, you know, Fury wouldn't do something like that. But Fury had all sorts of plans within plans and wheels within wheels. So, but let's just imagine that Fury is really out, like he says. He gives Coulson the toolbox and says, you go do your thing. I'm going to go take a sabbatical. Another group would hear about that, you know, a bunch of other S.H.I.E.L.D. operatives that I don't know why Coulson would not know that they existed unless they're hiding in one of these secret bases and just have really stayed under the radar for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Because Phil has taught, there were episodes earlier in the season where they were flying around trying to link up all the last vestiges of people that were still loyal to S.H.I.E.L.D., which is why he's got operatives in wherever it was it Costa Rica that we were in last week with Sif, wherever it was. And, you know, so he's got people that he can work with around the globe. There are other S.H.I.E.L.D. operatives that he's working with. He keeps in touch with Agent Broyles, for example, the guy that was running the psychiatric hospital that Angar broke out of. So another group might look at these people and say, well, this guy was, quote, legitimized by Fury, and, you know, Fury didn't even know that Pierce was, you know, doing all this stuff with Hydra under Fury's nose. So maybe they think that Fury really, you know, knew more about Hydra, like you said, than he let on, or that he was as corrupt as Pierce was. And so they may think that they have a more legitimate claim on the name S.H.I.E.L.D., which is why they changed the logo and stuff like that. I don't know. That's a big possibility there.
Hmm. Yeah, well, hey, there's lots of people out there. There's the general, right? There's the, Ward's still out there. I don't know. Maybe there's still something we don't know about him. I don't know.
I somehow would imagine he is not involved in this, but I don't know. We haven't seen him since we came back from break.
No, we haven't. We haven't. So, I hear he's probably coming back soon, but
yeah. Well, I would hope so. I mean, he was really interesting, so. So I'm really interested to see what's up with S.H.I.E.L.D. here. And I think if anyone's watched the preview for next week, I think there's a little bit of a tease as to what we may get, and there have been some other rumors going around that I don't want to get into, but you probably have all heard the same things, but we will discuss that a little bit more next week when we get into that. Mm-hmm. And then the one big thing that was talked about a lot in this episode, from the very beginning of the episode all the way to the very end, was the Index. So I think that is going to be an important element in all the future aspects of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like I said, this stuff's going to play out over the next few years. I think it's going to, they're setting up the Index as a way to divide characters, right? So you've got gifted characters that are born with their superpowers like Sky. And then you've got these enhanced individuals that are man-made, and that's like, Angar or Mr. Hyde, right? Basically any of Cal's crew, or Who else did she mention? Donnie Gill, I guess, who had the freeze, the frost powers from last season. So knowing that they are doing the Civil War storyline coming up, knowing that they are moving into, you know, the Inhumans territory and stuff like this, I think the Index and the fact that they are trying to define in the Marvel Cinematic Universe this way to differentiate between people with powers. So, like, you know, Iron Man would be enhanced. The Hulk would be enhanced. Thor might be gifted. You know, I don't know how all that stuff set up. But basically, they keep tabs on these people, like we said earlier, all the time. And that's going to be, this is going to be something to watch out for, I think, in the future.
No, that could push the show in a whole other direction again. So I like that. I think change is good for a show like this.
And maybe there'll be a time when we've got, you know, there's like a whole team of good superpowered characters fighting a whole team of bad superpowered characters, you know, like a little mini Avengers on TV on a weekly basis. I mean, I know they're not rushing to get there, but, you know, maybe, you know, season three, maybe season four, if they make it that far. We don't know if they've been renewed for season three yet. I don't think I've missed a memo on that, but
I've been watching. I haven't seen anything official.
So, I can't imagine they would not be renewed at this point, but I guess we'll see. So anyway, lots of good stuff in this episode. I like the enhancements of the superpowers on the show. Plus we got the tease finally as to what Mac and Bobby are up to. I remember just that was really frustrating me last week, and so I'm glad they kind of brought that to a head, so we can get some more, well, I don't know, resolution, but we can at least do some more digging
progression
on, yeah, progression on that. So
yeah and you know, just as a final note of talking about, you know, this episode, these characters and things, I really thought the portrayal of the Misfit band there, you know, what was his team name again?
The Slicing Talons.
Slicing Talons, yeah. We'll just call them that. I really like the portrayal of them. Just kind of, you know, I don't want to use the word ugly, but, you know, different looking. I loved that they had, when they took his masks
ugly.
Off. When they took his mask off, it looked like he had that mask on for years, which I thought was a nice little touch, you know.
Yeah, I couldn't understand why he had the mark on his neck, but then when I watched it again, I'm like, oh yeah, it's a band going around his neck and all the skin flaking off. Well, and if you realize, Carla says, "Oh, gentle, gentle," when they go to take it off, and she turns her fingers down, and it looks like she's actually like slicing inside the mask to dislodge some of the skin that may be stuck to the mask from him wearing it for so long.
Yeah.
Because
hands didn't look too hot either.
Oh yeah, well,
and just even her wardrobe, her costume that they had for her, not, you know, not a costume, but on the show the costume.
Yeah,
you know, just a sweater, you know, just kind of a casual dress you might see on someone in the Midwest, housewife, yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was just a really nice touch.
Yeah.
So great job on this episode. I really liked the little details that they included.
And how does she pick her nose? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Very, very carefully.
Yeah, definitely. One other thing about Angar, the guy with the mask, very Silence of the Lambs looking mask, right? And the fact that supposedly even his whisper can induce catatonia because of the work they did in his vocal cords. Because we're dealing with Inhumans here, that's drawing a lot of parallels to a the king of the Inhumans in the comic books, Black Bolt, who basically never talks because just one whisper like can decimate mountains. He's got his vocal cords will, you know, shatter, whatever. So
yeah.
I thought that was an interesting little parallel, because I'm assuming we will be getting something like that when it comes to an Inhumans film.
Brief thing. Hey, what happened to all those high school students? They wake him up, I hope?
I hope so. They didn't. I mean, you know, it would be kind of weird that, you know, if they were dead, I guess. I mean, they did talk about him inducing catatonia.
Yeah. All right. I'm just hoping they're okay. Just checking on them.
Well, I do
looking
have a question, though, because there was one part where let me just close with this. What was it? Cal gave Angar the microphone. They're standing on the field, and he's like, mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't, you know, get him to crack or whatever. Why don't you give him a try? And he gives Angar the microphone, but Angar looked like he was about to scream, but Cal and all of his other people weren't wearing their headphones. So I'm like, yeah. And then it was at that moment, of course, that Gordon came in and jumped out with Cal. But I felt that he wouldn't have actually screamed, right? Because that would have made Cal and everybody else, you know, all, you know, his group as well, go down. I don't know. That just seemed a little weird. So, Well, we got a couple pieces of feedback here. Why don't you take the first one here, and I will I'll run the second one.
All right. So we got a message from Mark, and he said, "I thought that Loki might want to capture." We were talking about all things Odin? Thor last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and how Odin had been replaced by Loki in Thor, the second Thor movie,
Thor
right?
The second, yes.
Thor the second, yeah. Thor 2, The Revenge. I thought that Loki might want to capture Vintak instead of stealing his hammer/truncheon. Imagine that if you're Loki, you're disguised as Odin, and if you ever had anyone find out about him, capture the person and get Vintak to zap them. Just a thought. So, Interesting. So you could make them forget, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
I also thought that the images of Sif and Coulson were weird. Oh, we talked about the little the selfies that Coulson had that he showed her.
Right. The footage from the episode itself, basically.
Yeah. Just imagine Sky/Daisy/Quake taking a photo and posting it on Instagram. OMG, I just met an Asgardian. I wouldn't put it past them these days. But anyway, also, I have a question for you. What Inhuman would you like to see appear on the show? We probably aren't going to introduce Black Bolt, So don't use that one. You can answer this if you want. I personally want to see Karnak. He might be able to appear, but he may be too big for TV. But hey, they have Sif on the show, and she is a big character. I agree with that. She is big. Anyway, thanks for the great podcast. I think they could put just about anybody, this kind of adapt them to fit the needs of the show, and they do a pretty good job of that.
They've got a whole bunch of new Inhumans that are showing up in the comic series Inhuman, and the blind guy Gordon appears to be modeled after one of the characters in that comic, but it's not a one-to-one, so people aren't quite sure. It's a character, I believe, named Reader. But me personally, and I don't care if they put this character on the show. I want them in the Inhuman movie. If they put him as a background character, I want to see Lockjaw. And that's the big dog with a little tuning fork on his forehead that can teleport.
You took mine.
I'm sorry. But you
no,
like Lockjaw.
No, that's
too,
awesome.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah, he's cool.
Lockjaw is great. If you haven't read Pet Avengers, it's a whole group of animals that are Avengers pets or friends of Avengers or whatever, and they get into some adventures with, and Lockjaw's one of them, so it's really cool. And then Brian wrote into us saying, after listening to your latest episode of Case Files, great as always, I thought about Bobby and Mac popped into my head. What if they are secretly working for Talbot, General Talbot, to gain more intel to bring down S.H.I.E.L.D.? Just my two cents. Keep up the great work, guys. Well, I guess that is a part. I was, you know, when I first read this and we put it in the notes, I was like, well, that's wrong. But no, it's totally possible. Talbot could be running. Even if we see somebody in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. next week, doesn't mean that they're actually in charge, right? There could always be somebody else behind that person. So Talbot's an interesting idea. And I remember I did say it was kind of a militaristic looking logo.
That's true.
That really has some merit now. All right. Well, we'll have to think about that one, and I guess we'll get a little bit more next week. We also have a couple references I wanted to touch on. Carla's watching a movie at the beginning of the show, and I always am curious to see if those kind of tie in some fashion. This one's called Magnificent Obsession from 1935, and it's basically about there's a guy that needs emergency surgery for some reason, so he uses the only whatever the machine is that can save him, but another man dies because he wasn't able to get into that surgery for that machine at the same time. And the woman who was married to that guy is very upset. And so it's some kind of romance where the guy that was saved ends up starting to date this woman whose husband died. They become friends, but then she loses her sight and is penniless. And so this guy starts taking care of her, and he becomes a doctor and ends up being able to restore her sight by the end of it. It's like some
everybody lives happily ever after.
For Magnificent Obsession. Film. Yeah, this is pretty crazy.
obsession. I can't think of anybody on this episode that had an obsession. Can you? Must just be coincidence.
No, it's Cal, somebody, maybe. So, at Carla's apartment is number 312, which happens to be the reverse numbers of this episode, episode number 213, second season, 13th episode. Carla Faye Gideon is also a super, super, super minor supporting character in a Daredevil series called Redemption. And David A. Angar, a.k.a. Angar the Screamer, is a C-list villain from Daredevil. And he has been reinvented in a number of ways, but I think I mentioned this last week, that he's basically a hippie who had was exposed to some kind of ray that altered his vocal cords. So that was some of the cool stuff that I saw. Oh, and the Fighting Outlaws of Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
Manitowoc. Hey, the only location they've been to on this show so far that I've actually been in.
You have been to Manitowoc?
I've been to Manitowoc, yes. My wife's family lives near Manitowoc.
Get out. Oh, next time you go back, you guys got to take some photos.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, look for birds.
Dead birds on the floor. The Fighting Outlaws appears to be a reference to a Marvel cowboy character from the Golden Age comics called the Outlaw Kid. And, of course, when I saw the Fight On slogan that Cal painted on the wall, my mind, of course, raced to my alma mater, University of Southern California, Fight On Trojans. Go Trojans. So, unfortunately, that was not it. So I was a little disappointed, but otherwise, that was pretty cool.
I didn't catch that one. I went to University of Colorado, where our motto was give up. So,
All right. Well, that's all that we've got for this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. Thanks for tuning in again.
Hope you guys had fun with us. And if you did, please leave us some feedback on iTunes. We'd love to see that. Give us a shout out here. Send us an email, shield@randomchatter.com, or get on our Twitter, @AgentsPodcast, or our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AgentsPodcast.
You can also check out the other shows that Josh and I host, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, via randomchatter.com. All shows are also available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. Also, make sure to keep an eye on our Facebook page. We'll be teasing a little bit more about our appearance at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim coming up here in mid-April. I believe it's the 16th through the 19th of April, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right.
Yep. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.